like you.
Bob? Bob's got... Okay. Bob, are you coming up?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
The reason that I got up here is because I want to stretch a little bit. I wanted to bring in a little humor, and in the area that we live in Ladysmith, I deal with both genders, men and women, and I had a real issue in the town that the people that employed me wouldn't allow me to lobby or be a revolutionary, so we started a group called MAM, Mad Women Against the Ministry, and they chose not to use that name. Unfortunately, they went to Women's Action Group, and it's quite phenomenal what these six ladies who nobody has employment for or time for usually, and they've done some really good work, really good work. And we also, in Ladysmith, they're doing some things like co-ops and little programs where people get together, things like that. So we're doing similar work. Ma'am is doing a good job.
Thanks, Bob.
I just wanted to talk briefly about a big project that the Women's Center in Squamish did. About a year and a half ago, we did a Prevention of Violence Against Women Community Mobilization Project. And we started out with groups, a focus group of women who, of course, are the foundation of the whole project. We were trying to meet the needs of women who had been in violent relationships. And a spin-off from that was after talking with them and starting that focus group, we spoke with service providers that would touch their lives during this time, created a community network of service providers, and then from there did a community forum and opened it up to the community to come and talk to us, the group that completed this binder on providing services to women throughout the Sea to Sky corridor. But some of the things that we used to generate interest was actual meetings face-to-face with individual service providers, asking them questions and generating their interest in the project. We also paid honorariums to the women, because most of the women were on income assistance. They had an important piece to add to this project, and we felt that they needed to be compensated for this. We tried to set meetings up around lunch times when people were free from work, and so also to feed them, which would draw them to the meeting. Which was helpful. We did that actually for the forum as well as for all the service providers, luncheons and stuff. We also opened up the service provider luncheons to the focus group of women, those who were willing to be visible, so that they could actually be directly interacting with those people that would or had or could be working with them in the future, or have worked with them, or would have worked with them in the past. Hopefully, to question, congratulate, give them pats on the backs. Either way, on what they've done so far, what they were able to do, what they thought they should have done, that sort of thing throughout the whole process. The binder was created with all the service provider information in it. What they thought was a gap, what they thought we needed, what they believed was essential. And actually, one of the really things that really surprised us was the fact that they said that the Women's Center was an essential service in Squamish. And we've used that in our funding proposals, all that sort of stuff. So, hopefully, but after 2004, we'll still be there, but we'll see. Yeah. We have lost, of course, this project finished December of last year. Mm-hmm. So in February, that's when the cuts came down, and we lost our courthouse, our Crown Council, our legal aid. We're losing our ministry office. We've lost our Crown Victim Services. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those service providers that were in the binder are no longer there. So what we've done now is applied for phase two of the project to redo that, but to expand it to Whistler, Pemberton, Darcy, Mount Currie. So that we can have, so what we'll do is we'll take the components that we used the last time, fix them, the ones that we thought didn't work, because or change them or whatever. And then to expand them to Whistler focus group, Whistler service providers, Whistler panel. From the end of this, though, is not, we're not going to have a big community open panel. What we want to do is we want to create a community mobilization committee so that when someone is physically assaulted in Mount Currie, they know step by step what's going to happen for them throughout the corridor. And it will be consistent and proactive and healthy assistance that they'll get. But I did have one question to ask. I think that was all. Okay, is what sort of things can you do to compensate for misdirections of an event? Like you started with a specific thing in mind, and you have this idea in your head, and this is what you want to see have happen, so you have this whole thing put together, and all of a sudden it's gone way off over there.
I think you have to follow that. You have to go where the group takes you, and I mean, you have to, I think, start off at the beginning knowing that that might happen, that you might have it all wrong, and just like with the Woodward squat, you had to stick with it. You couldn't say, well, 7 days for see, yeah, that's over, go home. You know, we've decided that this is finished, because that doesn't work. Once you go to the community, they're in charge. You have to, I think, be really patient and follow things through. We had a discovered is the right word, but we noticed in Nanaimo that the number of First Nations clients that we had wasn't consistent with the population. That we had very much fewer First Nations clients than lived in our area, and so we needed to know why. And fortunately, legal services gave us some money to figure that out, and we assigned a couple of people to a project. And it was a long, step-by-step, very slow-to-begin process, because we had to find out who were the contacts in the community, what were the structures, how did you get to speak to the chief and council, what were the protocols you had to follow. So the whole learning curve for everybody. Anyway, at the end of the project, we found out some things that we probably didn't want to know about our office. And some of the people in our office didn't want to hear about our office and the way that our office was perceived in the community. But once we got on that treadmill and said, we want to know why your people don't use our office, we also had to commit, once we find out why, we will change that. And it set us off on a course that was, for a period of time, very painful in our office and really hard to manage the change that absolutely had to take place if we were going to follow through with that commitment that we had made by embarking on this project. And at the end of the project, we invited the elders from, I guess, three different nations around Nanaimo to an elders' tea. And I think we had two of those teas. And it was really good. It was they were very happy to come then, and we knew that we had committed to those changes. They were there. We talked to the elders about even what does our office look like to you when you come in, how comfortable is it, et cetera, et cetera. And then they closed us down. So that was the end of that. But you know, you have to be prepared that it's going to go in a different direction than you ever imagined. But you just got to, you know, once you hit the horse on the rump, you got to hang on.
What I'd like to suggest that we do for the last half hour is, Tash, you want to talk now? Okay, go ahead.
Actually, I work for a United Church. I do welfare advocacy. I don't do any community organizing. But they're ready to start doing lobbying work, and I wondered if people had any suggestions for me about how would we go about setting our priorities. There is already within the congregation a very strong interest in newcomers to Canada. The congregation is 80% seniors, so that's an interest already. Clearly, they have an interest in poverty work, or they wouldn't have hired me. But can we do all of this? Should we do all of it? Should we focus? Where do we start? Does anybody have any ideas? Oh, also, of course, church folk, right? 80% women. So.
I think some of the things that we've got in this in our actual materials probably would be of some use. It's pretty, you know, straightforward kinds of things about how to organize an event, but it comes from a lot of experience that, you know, we've sort of had in doing that thing. And there are some really practical things, like Diane talked about, calling people, talking to people, not relying on, you know, sort of emails or you know, a fax or an ad in the paper, that kind of thing, but to actually be in touch with individuals.
I guess what I was hearing is that there was already a focus for those meetings, like battered women or poverty work. But we're...
So you're saying, how do you identify the issue?
Good social justice, that's what we want to do, but what does that mean specifically?
And, you know, feel free, anyone who's got ideas on how to identify your issue.
Oh, one of the things that we find in our office is that we need to do everything. You know, so that somewhere along the line you have to make a decision about what you can do. And how that boils down for us is when it seems there's a number of different areas that we could go into, we'd to call a meeting or a drop-in kind of session and get people just coming in and saying what's important to them. So however, you know, or you could do both, like call a meeting and do a drop-in session, because some people don't like going to meetings, but they'll come in and they'll drop in and sit with a few people and talk about what's going on in their life or what they think is important. And then, oh yeah, I know so-and-so, and yeah, that would be really good to get them involved, and then a group can just form that way. Another thing that we do sometimes is some people will come and say, we'd like to do a support group around this issue or this group of people, and could we put an ad in the paper and have them come and meet in your office? And we say, yeah, go ahead, let's do it. And then those people take responsibility for doing their own stuff.
Does anybody else have any other ideas about how to choose and focus on something?
One of the things that you might consider is doing a listing, five or six different topics, and asking them through a survey, through people that you know are interested, to put it 0 to 10 or whatever, what's their most important, and then work down from that. Then at least you get all the people that are really interested in that issue. Maybe we'll volunteer and help out with that issue.
I'll just add something really quick to that. We had a community information session in Cranbrook around PWD stuff, and then in the afternoon we had an app review clinic. 66 people came to the information session. Now that's incredible in Cranbrook, let me tell you. I was blown away when they kept walking in. Oh my God! But anyway, one of the things, you know, there was a little bit of politics in there, a little bit of political statement that came out, because I have to do that, but the people who stayed behind in the afternoon for the clinic, who were people with disabilities, they were there for the morning session as well. They wanted to talk a bit about political action, but they didn't really want to, you know, commit to anything. And so one of the things that's maybe important when you're working with a group of people and you're going to talk about political action is to say that it doesn't just mean in-your-face stuff. It means there's a lot of supporting work that needs to be done, and so we need the people to do the research, to develop the materials, to do the telephone tree. There's a lot of ways that people can participate, all that background stuff. So if people are aware of that, they are more likely to participate.
And go ahead.
We did exactly the same thing in Ladysmith, and in the morning we had the EWAs there, and the DSOs and all that kind of stuff. And in the afternoon, we brought all the agencies, like the Island Deaf, Hard of Hearing, Employment Navigators, a whole bunch of them. We had 100 in the morning and 400 in the afternoon.
Ooh. In Ladysmith, there's not 400 people who live there, Bob.
I guess
they came from Nanaimo.
Yeah, no. The reason I want to bring those numbers up is it was a surprise to us What really came out of it was the support people that worked with the people with disabilities in our communities had a chance to actually meet face-to-face with the other bureaucracies like the CNIB or BCPA, and those agencies who I have a lot of difficulty dealing with to get service, right? I mean, they're paid to get service, but very difficult, and it was amazing. So that's something you might want to try, and it was a lot of fun, too.
The other thing, Tasha, I would think that the council, the church council, I would treat it like a board of directors, and if I was, say, the executive director, then I would go to the board of directors and say, these are the issues that are coming into our offices. These are the impacts of each issue. These may be ways that you could deal with it. Give me some direction on what my priorities should be. Because, in fact, I think they're the ones who should be setting the priorities.
I'm very lucky in as much as there's a development committee that is completely into this. And the nurse I'm working with, who's my assessor, is also the chair of the board.
There.
What I'd like to suggest for the last half hour is that we do have some, because we want some kind of action as well coming out of every meeting, is to actually talk a little bit about some of the ideas around regional training. I think that one of the things that's come out of this discussion so far is that, you know, how you start a meeting, how you start a gathering isn't necessarily how it ends. I've certainly found that with PovNet, you know. I mean, when PovNet first started, I mean, it was about, you know, exchanging information, advocates talking to each other about casework. All that happens, of course. But PovNet has a life of its own now that's got totally to do with all of you and what your needs are at various different times. And at various different times has a very different picture, very different color. People who are on more than one email list will know that very definitely. They've all got very different personalities. And I think that's because of the kind of needs that you have as advocates and how you're using the service. So, you know, when we're talking about training sessions, education and training sessions in different communities, I like using education as well as training. Someone told me once that poor people get trained and other people get educated. So, I think that, you know, obviously, in some of your communities, you already have structures and organizations to set up some local education and training. In some places, you may not. But let's talk about some of this a bit more specifically and how it might work. Camia, do you want to take the mic for a moment and just come up with some ideas? Because you're going to be the one from Legal Services, right, who's sort of facilitating this. Yeah.
I just really.
It's
too complicated for me. Oh, I feel like a singer.
Back to the karaoke.
Lucky for you. I won't toss that out. I did that already. I did that at FAPG. Those of you who were there know that you don't want to hear it again. Right, Sunny? The regionals. We're going to do some regional follow-ups to this conference, and I guess what I really want to know is I want input on what kinds of things are important in looking at those regionals. I mean, they're going to be shorter. They're not going to be 3 days. They're going to be 1 day long. And one thing that I have thought about is that it's important that the community choose what the highlights should be for their community, what's most important for them. I've already heard some comments about timing. I know I said before that I was looking at January, and I've heard, no, that not January. No, it's not going to work. And I've thought about that in terms of weather and travel and stuff like that. But I just wanted some input about, partly I want to hear from people who are interested in assisting with that. And I also was hoping that people might have ideas for regionals that would be helpful. So
that's all I want to say. Camia, do you envision... Yeah, that's a good idea. Do you envision these kind of regional meetings being training sessions for advocates or information about new legislation for people who are in the community, or both, or how?
What is your vision?
That's my phone. You want to answer it, Danny?
It's got to be one of my kids.
Sorry, this is being taped too. The concept for the regionals was because of our limited funding, we weren't able to invite everyone that we wanted to invite. There were a lot of people who couldn't come. Well, partly because of funding, because our numbers limitations, but also some people couldn't come for lots of other reasons. We're really interested in getting as much information out as far as we can to as many people as we can. And regionals are really important. And for me personally, it's important that we go out there instead of having everything focused here. I really want to get out there. For us, it's important for community contact and to get out there and talk to people and see what's going on in different communities. So that's sort of what our concept is. And part of what I want to do is check it out and see, are we on track with that? Is that a good thing? Do you have any recommendations for us about how those should be? Are there things that we should be thinking about? Are there certain ways to organize it that make more sense than others? So what I'm looking for is input on that. What we're looking at mainly, though, is advocates, and what we want is to train to try and have a sort of a trickle-down effect. You know, this is one forum, and I'm hoping that people from this conference will assist us in setting up regional conferences that are appropriate in different regions, different communities, and then those conferences will help with local advocates who couldn't come, and that those advocates then can spread it out to further in the community. And so hopefully it's just spreading it around as best we can with what we've got, because we don't have anywhere near what we had. So that's the concept.